This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hello and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan and I'm so glad that you are joining us today. I have with us as a guest on the show, Chelsea DeMattis. Chelsea, how are you this morning?
I am good and I'm so excited to be here and get to talk with you today.
And I will say right now, I'm just really proud of myself for pronouncing your last name correctly.
I'm proud of you too.
Thank you. I mean, it was like when I started to say it, I wondered, oh no, how is this going to come out? And I have actually, you guys, before we even went on air, I practiced saying her name, but as I kind of had this moment of, oh no, I don't know if I'm going to get it right. So I'm just super excited that I said that right and really excited about what we're going to talk about. Let me introduce you a little more before we get into it. Chelsea DeMattis is a wife, mom of two littles, homemaker and devotional writer. She just released her first book called More of Him, Less of Me, Living a Christ-Centered Life in a Me-Centered World. She hosts the Living with Less podcast and writes devotions for Lifeway Women, I Believe, Crosswalk, and YouVersion. And Chelsea, I am so excited to talk more with you about this first book that you have recently released, More of Him, Less of Me, Living a Christ-Centered Life in a Me-Centered World. And I mean, if that doesn't just, you know, hit the nail on the head, the me-centered world is something that I feel like I am becoming more and more aware of every day. That, and it's, I think, and maybe you can speak to this, Chelsea, I feel like as followers of Jesus, we want to live Christ-centered lives. And this me-centeredness kind of sneaks in. Has that been your experience?
You know, I think that's the one of the biggest things for me in the writing of the devotional and just living this out, right? It's always the things we put on paper, it's us living that out. Right. And it was seeing how me-centered I have been living in all these areas, some big, but some, I love the way you said that, it's sneaky. Like some things you don't even think you're making about yourself or that you're living it more in a worldly manner than in a godly manner. And oftentimes that conviction was like, Lord, I had no idea. I had no idea. And it was just these sneaky little ways of realizing that my life revolves so much more around myself than it does the Lord. And how can I change that? Like how has God called me to live? And what does that look like in all of these areas?
Okay. So I want to jump straight. We're going to come back and talk more about just practically and realistically how we can live more Christ-centered in a me-centered world. But before we do that, let me start with this. Have you in your journey to live more Christ-centered, are there benefits to that, right? Because the world's telling us, the world is sending us messages. Messages like, well, if I don't think of me, who will? Messages like, we're always kind of in this competition for who's a bigger deal, whose life is better, you know, who has a more exciting social media feed, all, and it feels like reward in that, or you feel good when you live me-centered. So before we start talking more about how to live more Christ-centered and less me-centered, more of Him and less of us, what are the benefits of that? Why do we even want to pursue that?
You know, it's funny. We are in this season of life where, as you said at the beginning, we have two littles. My husband and I have been married 7.5 years. And so we're in our 30s. And we're in this season now where the whole keeping up with the Joneses is like a big thing, right? You see people's shiny things, bigger things, better things. And that's one way that just personally speaking in our lives that the Lord has continued to just really remind us and stir in our hearts, like, who are we serving? Like the shiny, the bigger, the better, those things look really attractive, right? And at the end of the day, typically when you're making those decisions, it's because I want to look this way. I want to feel this way. And the Lord just in that has really reminded me that I'm called to be a good steward of what we have and what our family is doing and who we are serving, rather than getting caught up in this outward image and these things that might make your life look better or seem like you've got it all together. And for us, it's just truly, okay, when I lay my head down at night, do I feel peace, or am I feeling stressed because I'm so worried about what everybody else is thinking about me? Mm-hmm. And I think it's especially in my own personal life, which is why I know the Lord brought all of this out of me, is I did live for a really long time caring so much about what everybody else thought about me. And God reminded me and has continued to remind me that it doesn't matter. Yes, I want people to see Jesus. I want people to see that in me, but that it shouldn't matter at the end of the day how somebody else perceives my life by my things, by my stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that's just been recently, like the most recent thing in our season of life where it's okay, we have to bring this all before the Lord and say, what is this truly about? And at the end of the day, when I am living for the Lord, when I know we are making those choices, because God has called us to make these decisions, we have peace. And I think when you're living for yourself, you're always unsettled. Mm-hmm. Always. Every single thing, and I'm sure you have some that are going through your mind too, and everybody listening, like we have all made a decision based off of hoping somebody else notices or hoping somebody else thinks a certain way about you. And then you feel so unsettled. Mm-hmm. You have no peace when you do those things, even if it's something small. And gosh, I'm like, Lord, I don't want to live in that unsettled place of worrying, what does everybody else think about me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you were talking, you know, I kind of had these two, opposite experiences in mind where, you know, when it's a me-centered life, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And when it's a Christ-centered life, there's rest. Mm-hmm. And just like the ends of the spectrum that don't meet anywhere, you know, it's either because there's such a, you just have to keep up. You have to keep one-upping what you did the day before when it's me-centered, and it's all up to you. So when the me-centeredness, when we're at the center of our motivations, of our choices, then we will naturally bear the weight of the outcome on our own shoulders. Mm-hmm. So not only are you running at this pace that you cannot keep up with, but you're carrying the weight of the burden. Mm-hmm. And so it's exhausting. Yes. And then you spoke to the peace versus the unsettledness that comes when Christ is the focus, when he is the center, and the rest that we have in Christ. And I'm reminded of the verse, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Mm-hmm. We're free from the burden of making it all work out, keeping it all together, you know, holding up a certain, we're free from all of that when Christ is the center. And you mentioned this a little bit, but one of the things that you talk about with this devotion, more of him and less of me, is that it teaches us to celebrate, treasure, and live out the eternal work that comes with the blessing of sanctification. And there is so much packed into that. So let's do this first. Let's talk about these ideas of celebrating and treasuring and living out the eternal work that comes from when Christ is the center, when we are living Christ-centered lives. Talk more to that.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, one of my favorite scriptures is in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 and 24. So this is, I always say this is such like a hot scripture, right? Like you'll see half of this scripture on a lot of t-shirts and a lot of things, a lot of like girl power stuff. But what it's really talking about, and I'll start this in verse 23, which is the one that always gets left out. It says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 24, which is the popular one, he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. And my word, the Lord has used this in my life. Number one, to just remind me that this is Paul praying. Like, he's praying that we would be sanctified completely. Those of us in Christ, that we would be so chiseled away at, right? As believers through sanctification. And so it is a gift. Sanctification does not feel good. Oftentimes the conviction that comes when we are being sanctified is like, man, I am so messy without Jesus. Like, when I am making decisions, when I'm not walking with the Spirit, as Galatians 5:25 tells us, I can be real ugly. My heart can be so ugly. And to look and see that, then it tells us in verse 24 that he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. That's promising that as believers, we will be sanctified completely. That if we are not face to face with Jesus, he is still sanctifying us. And that is the eternal work going on in our lives. And I think especially right now in this me-centered living where everything is all about me, 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 how I look, how I feel, what my dreams are. I want things to go this way. When sanctification happens, just because of the way in which our world is today, people totally deflect it. I mean, even believers are like, well, that doesn't fit in with my plans. It doesn't fit in with my agenda. And it's like, our agenda doesn't matter. Our plans don't matter. God has our plans and purposes and those things set before us. And he is going to use the very things in our life that he has planned and purposed for us to sanctify us. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to me through, and my prayer is through this devotional, women will start to see that conviction and sanctification is a gift, and it's all part of walking with the Lord. And that we need to treasure that, because God loves us so much that he doesn't want me to look the same tomorrow as I did today. We're to pursue holiness and righteousness, but we can't pursue those things if we're not wanting, honestly, sanctification in our own lives. That's how God changes us and chisels us.
Mm-hmm. So talk a little more to the woman who's hearing this word sanctification and going, what is that? What does that even mean? Can you give us a little bit of a definition or what that may look like?
I was just saying, I have a great example that the Lord just gave me like 2 weeks ago. Yay. So I always say sanctification is conviction playing out. So here's the example that I'll give. This past summer, there was a little bit of friction between a neighbor and I, and just stuff going on with our kids. The way that I approached the situation was not godly. The way I handled the situation was not godly. The things I said were true, but in the manner of which I said them was not correct. So this was months and months and months ago. Well, the Lord really started convicting my heart like 6-7 weeks ago that I needed to go apologize to her, like face to face at her house. And I finally got one-on-one time with her. She was heading out to the bus stop and I went over and I had to ask for forgiveness and, you know, tell her that I was so sorry for how I said what I said. And so that right there, I feel like is a great example to say the conviction in my heart was how I handled the situation. And then living that out and being obedient to God, having that sanctification process play out, was then making the choice to choose what the Lord wanted of me, to walk over to her, to ask for forgiveness. And regardless of what her response was going to be, I needed to do that. And walking away from that situation, and praise the Lord, yes, she did forgive me and we hugged. But it was one of those moments where I felt so relieved, because I knew, I was like, that was so humbling for me. The Lord humbled my heart. And that's the gift of conviction and sanctification, is it gives us a humble heart. It reminds us of the Holy Spirit's work in our life, because I know in my flesh, I didn't want to go say, I'm sorry for the way I said what I said. Mm-hmm. I felt in that moment that I was fine to say the way that I said things and the words that I said, but to the Lord, I am a witness. I am a light in this world. And it was wrong. And that conviction then played out is how he sanctifies us and just continues to humble us.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to ask you, if there have been some things, and you know, this may be dispersed throughout the devotion that you wrote, but like for the woman listening who's going, all right, I hear it, and I can begin to see ways that I have been living me-centered, and I want to make a shift to living more of him and less of me. And what would those, are there any practical steps that we can weave into our daily lives to help us either recognize when we're living me-centered, or even just kind of set our rhythms up in a way that would provide more fertile ground for us to live Christ-centered? Do you have any suggestions to help us do that?
So there's one in particular, there's one devotion. I actually can't think of the title. It's a 52-week devotional. So there's many in there, but where I specifically talk about like living our days truly for the Lord. And one of my mentors always said to me before her feet hit the floor, she always said every single day, Jesus, I want what you want today. And starting her day out that way. I feel like that's such a practical way. That was from Miss Christie. I cannot take credit for that, but she said that to me years ago. And so that's something that I do try to do before my feet hit the floor. Jesus, I want what you want today. That just postures our heart to be ready and willing to do what he's asked us to do. But then also it's looking at life through the lens of how can I be a blessing to those around me. I think it's so easy, especially now, like this is my first rodeo in the world of like pickup and drop off and having to be out the door, you know, and doing these things. So oftentimes it's okay, I got to go. I got to be here. I got to do this. And it's slowing down to go, okay, sure. I have to be here and I do need to do these things, but who has God put under my nose in these things? Or who has the Lord placed in my cul-de-sac to serve? And oftentimes we think that serving the Lord or doing things for the kingdom looks like a really big thing. But truly, when you think about what does it look like to live a life less of me and more of Christ, it's who are the people and the things that he's put right underneath my nose that I need to be speaking into and loving well. I always think of like the people you see for your daily coffee. If you go places and get coffee, like really getting to know the barista or really getting to know the cashier that you always see at the grocery store, like living for the Lord. I think we've so overcomplicated it, right, Katie? Like we feel like it has to be all these big things when really it doesn't need to be. And I think we can take that from scripture when we just see so many of the ways that Jesus lived. It was being with those in front of him, not always thinking about either, like I think of when he spoke to the 5,000, right? Or feeded the 5,000. It was all of these people that were right beneath his nose. He wasn't thinking about anybody else and the things going on there. It was, I'm going to serve these people right here, right now, and trying to live that out.
It's, you know, I find this tension in my daily life of being present where you are. because I can, you know, I have all of the times in the car and in the lines and doing things, you know, and even driving down the road with people in my vehicle, my mind can be somewhere else. And, you know, walking from one place to another, and there's so much happening around you, but your mind can be somewhere else. Yeah. And, you know, I think of the scripture that is in the Old Testament, but also quoted in the New Testament about having like ever seeing, but never perceiving. Yes. And that's the place where I find this conviction and sanctification that you talk about, because it's a little bit scary how I can see but not perceive. And I think that's what you're speaking to, is the difference between moving through something and being present in it. And it can happen in it, you know, it's not always like this long term moving through a season. It can be moving through your day. Yes. And if we, I think what you're describing kind of makes us refocus throughout the day on Christ. It's bringing us back to a Christ-centered. If every time we step into a new place, we try to remind ourselves to be present in that place, because then the natural question is why? Why be present in this place? Because Christ is the center of my life, and what might he want to do here instead of what am I doing? So it's the shift between what does Jesus want to do here right now versus what am I trying to do?
This was something that I feel like the Lord continued to remind me of. There was one specific season where it was so heavy on my heart. It should be on my heart every single day. But if everyone and every moment matters to the Lord, then it needs to matter to me. And that's not to, you know, carry this weight of this burden that I'm to care about every single need and everything going on. But just like you said, that person in front of me matters to the Lord so much. He loves that person so very much. And I need to be trying to love them well, or bless them, or just be somebody that's smiling at them. And so really to look at my life through, if all of these moments matter to the Lord, yes, I am going to make mistakes and fall short, of course, but to try and live from that heart posture of, I want to do what Jesus wants me to do today.
Mm-hmm. And so, in your devotion, the other part in this devotional book that you wrote, the other part of it that you talk about is the hope that we all need. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the things that we're talking about right now, may not necessarily, hope may not be a word. The words like sanctification and conviction, they don't always breathe. Hope doesn't always follow right behind those words. But if you will, as we kind of wrap up this conversation, let's talk for a minute about hope, the hope that we need every day, and the hope that we have in Christ, and how we realize that more when we take steps to live Christ-centered, even in a me-centered world.
So for me, I once had somebody ask me, they were like, do you think non-believers, they asked this question, do you think non-believers have hope and have peace? And I remember sitting with that for a while, and I responded back to this young woman. I just said, they have an earthly sense of hope. I said, I don't believe you ever have peace apart from Christ. I truly don't believe you can have that, because things are just unsettled and always on shaky ground. And for me, just personally speaking, when I truly like surrendered my life to the Lord, I realized what it looked like to live hope filled. And that means to me, even at the end of a really, really bad day, or a really hard season of walking through my marriage, 2019 was a very hard year for us. At the end of every day, I knew that I had hope of the eternal weight of glory waiting for me. And I know for some people, they might hear that and think, oh my gosh, that's so cliche. But truly, at the end of the day, the hope that I need is what's rooted in Christ. Like, that is the only thing truly that gets us through our hardest days. And when you are walking through this season, like for me, again, there's 52 things you can read about that God has walked me through and living for him. A lot of those days, like, it really chokes me up thinking of one in particular, were really, really hard. And watching how now from, you know, this different vantage point, seeing how God walked me through those things gives me so much hope. And I was actually just listening to your episode with Rachel. I can't remember her last name.
Probably Rachel Wade.
Rachel Wade, yes. And her talking about journaling, writing things down, all of that, how when you are writing things down, journaling them, I think she even mentioned like voice memos, whatever it is, when you look back a year later, if you want to talk about being able to be hope-filled, when you see the work that Christ has done in your life over the past year or 5 years, because you can go back and pinpoint certain seasons, my heart is like filled with joy, because I know that my hope in Christ is unshakable because I've seen what he's done. Mm-hmm. And I think many of us are weary and just tired because life feels like a rat race if you're looking at it through the world's eyes. And gosh, when you get centered on Christ and he starts, and you're allowing him to work through these nooks and crannies of your life, mm-hmm. You truly see that he is your hope. And he is our peace.
And he is unshakable. He's something you can hold on to no matter what happens around you, whether it feels stable or not. Mm-hmm. He is stable and we can hold on. And so that's, I love that. And you know, your testimony to him in things that, you know, as I was listening to you, what I kept hearing is you had hope when it sounds like everything was hopeless. Yeah. And yet because of Jesus, you had hope. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's probably at least one person listening right now that knows what those hopeless situations feel like. And I hope that you're encouraged to hear that Chelsea, even now, like long past that day that you spoke of, that can still bring tears to your eyes because of how difficult those circumstances were. You can still, you rested at the end of that day with your hope in Jesus, and you can still say today that you were right to place your hope in Jesus, even at the end of that day. And so you have this devotional book, 52, it's a 52 week devotional book. So, a week for, you know, every week of the year. And, where can, you know what we'll do? We'll put a link in the show notes for if you're listening and you want to grab a copy of More of Him, Less of Me, Living a Christ-Centered Life in a Me-Centered World. We'll have a link in the show notes for where you can grab a copy for yourself. Chelsea, anything else that you want to leave our listeners with?
Gosh, I feel like I have two things. The first one being real quick about it being a weekly devotional. There's a paired podcast episode that goes along with each week's devotion. That way people can dive deeper because devotions are obviously short. They're not really long. And I always say they're like a married couple. You don't need them together, but they complement each other very, very well. And it just gives a little more meat and scripture and just like practical ways of kind of diving deeper into what you would read in your 2-minute devotion.
And so that's on the Living with Less podcast?
Yes. Okay. Where you can also hear your episode from like 2 years ago, which is so fun. But then the other thing I would say, I know hearing about salvation or not salvation, hearing about sanctification and conviction can be a really, sometimes it just feels heavy and not fun. Mm-hmm. My publisher actually said, she's like, Chelsea, you have the message that people oftentimes don't want to hear, but we really, really need. And I think it's just really important to remind you and how you finished out with the hope. Talking about hope is that when we start living for him, we truly see that he is the one that gets us through our days. Like when your head hits the pillow, you're like, Jesus, we made it. You got me through another day. Like, okay. And it is just a really beautiful thing when you can look back and see just everything you've done.
Thank you for that word of encouragement. And I think it's worth, you know, if you do have those reservations, try it. You know, just take the first step towards leaning in to sanctification and that conviction and that obedience that may feel uncomfortable, but you know it's obedient to Christ. Mm-hmm. And just lean in to shifting from living in a me-centered life to a Christ-centered life and see the difference for yourself. So Chelsea, thank you so much for your heart for this and to share it with us today. And I know that those listening and we pray that those of you have joined us today for this conversation, that you've even heard just one thing that you can take away and apply to your life today so that today is your best day ever. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, Chelsea.
Thanks, Katie.